Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. On his new album, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Glenn Frey turns back the clock to the music he heard as a young child, long before reaching superstardom with the Eagles and as the solo artist responsible for massive hits like The Heat Is On. The six-time Grammy winner's new album is called After Hours, ending Frey's 17-year hiatus from releasing solo material. The album features covers of a variety of love songs dating back to the big band era, including The Good Life, The Look of Love, Route 66, and even Caroline No, by another legendary songsmith, Brian Wilson. The album is a chance for Frey to demonstrate a side of him many of his fans might not know.
I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I've given you my heart. I love you, and you alone were meant for me. Please give your loving heart to me and say we'll never part.
He was back on the road following the Eagles' 2006 release, The Long Road Out of Eden, and he's also back out on his own to perform songs off After Hours and many other favorites. Glenn Frey, what a pleasure to welcome you to the Roundtable.
Hey, thank you, Ian. Nice to be talking to you.
So what took so long between solo records here?
Well, you know, I started a family, so that was sort of what I really turned my focus to. And, you know, the Eagles were back together, and, you know, we did Hell Freezes Over, we did Live in Melbourne, we did the double CD Long Road Out of Eden, and plus we probably played 600-700 shows during that time. So, you know, that's kind of what kept me busy, family and the Eagles, and just, you know, I wasn't highly motivated to just write another batch of Glenn Frey songs. I did most of my writing for the Eagles, and so... But this was an opportunity to, like you say, sort of show another side of me and for me to, you know, be able to sing some songs that I've always, you know, held dear. And so, you know, with the help of my friends and a lot of talented people, we put this record together in the last couple of years.
St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City looks oh so pretty on a sea. Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Bostock, San Bernardino. If you get hip to this kind of tip, yeah, go and take that California trip. Get your kicks on Route 66.
How long had you been planning to do an album like this?
Well, I wanted to do an album like this for a long time. Going back to even the 70s and hearing Harry Nilsson's album, A Touch of Schmielsen in the Night. He was the first guy I ever heard a pop singer that did standards. And then, you know, I loved the Linda Ronstadt albums that she did with Nelson Riddle. What's New and Lush Life were, you know, the benchmark records for me. Those are my favorites. I know other artists have kind of gone this way. But for myself, I just loved this music, and I got started recording a few of the songs, and it really whet my appetite to want to do some more. So that's really just sort of how the record evolved. We cut a couple things, and they sounded pretty good. And then we decided to keep at it, That's basically what we did for a couple years, and the end product is After Hours.
When you were, you know, selecting songs and recording them in the studio, did you find yourself being transformed back to the moments when you first heard some of this music?
Well, some of them I can remember when I first heard the songs. You know, obviously Caroline No, you know, which was on Pet Sounds.
That's not true. Oh, Caroline, you break my heart, I wanna go and cry.
The Look of Love, you know. I'm a big Dusty Springfield fan, and I remember her version of the Bacharach David song, The Look of Love. You know, and then some of the other stuff, actually, you know, I had only heard, you know, in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years. Some stuff I've known about for a long time. So, it varied.
When you were selecting the music, did you seek out other versions of songs that have been covered, or were you going off the original and then sort of seeing how you would like to do it?
Well, you know, we'd talk about a song and whatever particular song it was, you know, sometimes we would listen to a previous recording of that song. Sometimes we wouldn't. Normally we'd go back and, you know, listen. I mean, like for example, Dinah Washington, she recorded this song called Too Soon to Know. And I love Dinah Washington, and it's on a collection of songs that I have. But then there were 20, 30 people that did that song. But I didn't think it was very useful to me to listen to all the different versions. So I normally just listen to like one version, the version I liked, and the version that I, you know, we would sort of maybe respectfully approach the song in a similar way.
Does he love me? It's too soon to know. Can I believe him
when she tells me so? Is she fooling? Is it all a game? Am I the fire, or just another flame? A one-sided love will break my heart. She may be acting or playing a part. If she don't love me, let her tell me so. I can't hold her if she wants to go.
I didn't want to have too much input. You know, I wanted to sort of do what felt natural and what sounded good to me and my partners, as opposed to, like I said, listening to 10 versions of, you know, Sentimental Reasons, or There's No Reason To. Nat King Cole's is the only version you ever need to hear.
Comparing writing songs for an album and going in and recording them, you're responsible for lyrics, you're responsible for the singing, you're responsible for a lot of the instruments. When you're going in to do a song that's really showing off your voice, I mean, is that more or less pressure than the normal process you go through when putting an album out?
Well, it's not about pressure. I think it's just different. When you've written the song, you know, and you know the lyrics and you know the message of the song, to me it's much easier to stand in front of the microphone and sing a song that I've written, because I know what I want to express and how I want to express it. When you're doing other people's material, you are an interpreter. And, with the songs on this record, which, you know, the songs I love so dearly, you know, I wanted to, first of all, show respect for the original songs, the way they were written, the way they were meant, the way the writers meant them to be, you know, performed. And then you sort of have to, you know, it's a different kind of singing, Ian. You know, what I do most often in my musical life is I call it guitar singing. Mm. You know, I'm playing the guitar and I'm singing a song. This is a little different. You know, I think you have to sing more like a trumpet, more like a saxophone, more like a flute. It's, you know, it's kind of, that's sort of the nature of the songs. And so your voice needs to be compatible with, you know, with the instruments that are on the track too. So it was an interesting process for me to learn these songs and try to understand them and get to know them intimately, and then ultimately be able to go out and sing the song and, you know, be confident and emote and do all the, you know, the things that you do when you perform a song. So it was definitely different. You know, when I've written a song, I already know the song inside and out when I go to sing it. But it's a little bit different when you're doing somebody else's material. But it was exciting. I enjoyed going to work every single day. Every day I worked on a great song, Ian. It didn't matter, you know, get in the car. What are we doing today? Well, we're going to overdub on Caroline. No. Well, I guess I can put up with that for the next 6 or 7 hours. That's not so bad. But like I said, I had a lot of fun making this record, and it was great to be in the company of all this great music every day.
We plan to get married about 10 years ago. You stalled and you tarried. You wouldn't say yes, and you wouldn't say no. I'm getting old, my bones just creak. Someday I feel like new. That's when we'll hear the preacher speak, and I'll be gone. And I'll belong to you.
I'm Ian Pickus, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. That was Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Glenn Frey singing I'm Getting Old Before My Time off his new album of standards, After Hours. Do you find that this is maybe a sort of a risky project for you, just because you've said people really won't expect this necessarily? And if so, is there something to being at the point in your career where you are, where you don't even have to worry about that? I mean, you're going to do what you want to do.
Well, I think you probably answered the question, Ian. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel any pressure. I feel like I'm, it's kind of like I've done my whole career, really, which is just sort of follow my instincts, sing and play and write what's interesting to you. And I think, if you you put a lot of time and effort into something, I think the time and effort somehow shows. And, but for this record, for me, the journey was the reward. I know that sounds cliche, but it's just true. I learned so much about myself. I feel like I'm a better singer. I feel like I'm a better record producer. All for having done this record. And, what happens from here on out once the record comes out, that's something you really have no control over. So, we just sort of see how it comes out. But I think, the millions of people out there who like the Eagles, some of them I think might pick this record up just out of curiosity, and then they'll be in for a big surprise.
After completing this process, would you like to try a second journey into the songbook? I know you mentioned some other artists have done this year, Paul McCartney and Rod Stewart seems to be putting out one of these explorations every couple of years. Or are there other projects, maybe in a different genre, that you'd like to explore going forward?
Well, I definitely want to make at least one more record in this vein, only because there are so many songs I want to sing and that I couldn't do them all on one record. So I probably will at some point do another record like this. And other than that, I haven't really thought about what my next project is going to be. I'm kind of we're wrapped up right now. Me and the Eagles were in the middle of completing the History of the Eagles, a 2-DVD set. And so that's a project that we're working on right now. So I haven't really thought about, like I said, I just sort of finished this record. So I'm going to kind of ride it out for a while. And then, when this project has sort of come to a close, then I'll figure out what I'm going to do next.
I've read you sort of downplay this elsewhere, so forgive me for pointing out that it's the Eagles' 40th anniversary. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means we're really old, Ian, but not as old as some.
Well, right, Beach Boys are doing their 50th, so you've got some time to go.
The Beach Boys and the Stones are having their 50th anniversary, so why should we be a distraction when we've only been together 40 years? It just doesn't seem fair. But you know, it says we've been around a long time, and I think that's a good thing.
How would you have marked this year, this 40th anniversary, had you not had this second act of the Eagles beginning in the 90s?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, is that an important facet of your career with them?
Well, you know, the Eagles is the mothership. And since we got back together in 94, one of the things I've wanted to do is to keep the band together for a while. And we've managed to do that. We've now been together almost twice as long as we were in our first incarnation. People still want to hear us play these songs. People still come out to concerts in droves. And the Eagles is a nice place to come back to, you know. So this particular year, you know, we're not quite calculating and mercenary enough to say, oh, 40th year, let's put some things together and really capitalize on this. It just didn't work out that way for us this year. This is a quieter year in terms of what the Eagles are doing. Maybe next year will be busier when the history of the Eagles comes out. But it just, you know, like I said, this is just kind of a year where people are doing other things.
This album came out of the music you heard when you were much younger. You said you've started a family now. Do you think that your own children could look back on this era and find the same sort of fondness for the music of this time in another, let's say, 50 years?
Hey, I'm sure. You know, every generation has its own soundtrack. And so, I have no doubt that, you know, my kids, are identifying with music that's out now, and that it'll always be something they look back on and say, remember when we listened to White Stripes, remember when we listened to Black Keys, remember when we listened to Black Eyed Peas, remember, you know, Wilco and Radiohead and Coldplay and Nickelback and, you know, Dave Matthews and, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I'm sure they'll have the same feelings about the music that they listened to when they were growing up.
Our guest has been Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Glenn Frey. His new album is After Hours. Glenn, what a pleasure to have you on the roundtable. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ian. It was nice talking to you.
Up at midnight, ladies dressed in fur. When I see the quiet street, I always think of her. Not the way she is now, but the way that she was then. Sometimes you can't go back again.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.